Welcome to the Functional Tennis Podcast. I'm guest host David O'Hare. Today, I'm joined by David Norrie, proud father of current British number one, Cam Norrie. On today's episode, Dave and I chat about how Cam got started in tennis, the challenges that come with being a tennis parent, and what it's like to watch a child compete on the world stage. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Quickly jumping in before Dave gets into his chat to say thanks to our podcast sponsors, ASICS. ASICS are the go-to tennis shoe for me and countless tennis players and coaches around the world. As I've mentioned here many times, the Solution Speed is my go-to choice of shoe for its lightweight and stability. There's also the Resolution 9, which is the best all-round shoe and great if you're a coach as it's light and super comfy. Then, if you cover the court like Novak, there's the Court FF3 Novak, which helps you push through court coverage boundaries, just like Novak. Check them out at ASICS.com. Or you can message me on Instagram at Functional Tennis if you've any questions at all.
Really looking forward to understanding the role that you've played in nurturing Cam's ability and talent, and just having a bit better understanding of Cam's journey. Obviously, he burst onto the scene, back in 2017, I think, and it'd be interesting just to hear his developments. You wouldn't exactly call Auckland a hub of international tennis. So I suppose that's a really good starting point for us today is just understanding, how you're able to cultivate such a talent in New Zealand where, it's probably totally overlooked by the rugby community and schools rugby in particular, I know is big down there. So thanks for joining us and looking forward to the chat.
Thank you. Thanks, David. What my impression was that the location where you grow up to start to play tennis isn't that important. But what is important, I think Judy Murray mentioned this, you've got to be quite near a tennis court. And we were fortunate that, I was still playing quite a lot then, and we moved to a house which was 5 minutes from nice tennis courts at Buckland's Beach. And so Cam spent a lot of time down at the tennis club, and time on the court. Time on the court's quite important. So he'd go down there, and we wouldn't see him again. He was just down there and having a hit. We would sort of show him a few practice strokes in the driveway, but once he was big enough to hold a racket and be able to play on a full size court, I think the location of being near to the tennis court was really important.
I suppose there's such a social aspect to the game. My childhood was similar. I wasn't maybe as fortunate to have one within walking distance, but certainly my summers when I was on summer holidays consisted of being dropped down to the tennis club and spending the entire day down there and having a bit of fun with friends and, everything kind of revolved around tennis for the day. And it was brilliant.
And in retrospect, when I was growing up in Glasgow, we were also fortunate that we had lots of tennis clubs. In those days, there was tennis clubs everywhere. I could walk to probably three tennis clubs from where I grew up. Those days are gone, I suspect. But it was really good to have proximity to a tennis club. But they had a thriving junior section at Buckland's Beach, and there was lots of juniors, lots of guys and girls hitting. And the woman who still runs the program down there, Julia Sim, who's ex Rhodesia, Zimbabwe. She's a passionate tennis player, and it was a good club to join and a good environment to learn how to play tennis and sort of meet lots of people.
It's clear that the passion from the sport hasn't fallen far from the tree for Cam, and you're a keen tennis fan, tennis fanatic, maybe is fair to say.
But I think it was I was playing, so at one point with Cameron's sister and my wife, all four of us were playing interclub, so it was you had to get pretty well organized because obviously they were too young to drive and we'd be playing all over Auckland. So it was a real family affair. Brilliant. At one time playing tennis. Obviously Cam was quite good, but it was nice that we were all involved to some extent, which was great. And I think playing playing interclub at a young age is quite a nice, you probably know from your own experience, quite nice to develop your skills, you know, because if you play, you know, Cam played when he was quite young and he was sort of good enough to be playing at a senior level, you know, when he was like 10 or 11, you know, playing guys and, you know, it was a good baptism for him, you know, because you get all sorts of different balls coming at you from, you know, people who don't, like adult players who don't hit the ball probably conventionally. So it was quite a good way of learning how to cope with those sort of people.
Yeah, refining his skill set and adapting from there. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. So at that point, you know, he looked as like he was a reasonably good prospect, and but of course, to get to another level, you probably need a bit of help. So there was a program at Auckland Tennis we're running, and it was run by Mark Lewis, who of course has a famous brother, Chris, who got to the Wimbledon final, as you probably recall, yeah, when he played McEnroe. Anyway, Mark ran the program in Auckland, and it was an excellent program. But we struggled initially to get Cam to accept Cam, like not so much because it was quite a busy program. So eventually, when we got him in, it really helped, because then he was starting to hit with all the good juniors in the Auckland area, and that also helped him a lot. But of course, it meant some considerable sacrifices in terms of squads would meet, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, so you got to get up early and drive, and then take your change of clothes to get to school, and so it was a real shuttle service, which mainly my wife ran, but it needed cooperation for the whole family to be able to accommodate that. So that was, I mean, quite fond memories. But of course, in the middle of winter in the Southern Hemisphere in June, getting up at 5:30 wasn't always
a
fantastic experience, yeah. You know. But yeah. But it was. It proved to be good. A good background for him, and a good base that you could hit a lot of balls. So we were there before school, and then my wife would pick him up after school. So he was. He had a busy life in terms of, but an enjoyable one, and he never really complained about it, you know. So which meant he was quite enjoying it, which was great.
Yeah, I suppose the passion is such a key part to keep young athletes and juniors invested and involved, and yeah, it's funny when you look back on the careers, the sacrifices made, you know, willingly missing birthday parties, events, and all in pursuit of kind of fun on court, is kind of definitely dotted across all major success stories in the sport.
Yeah, but I think also, like, and another thing I've heard lots of other people say, and I agree with you, you don't want to specialize too early. So Cam, in fact, like many kids, was playing lots of sport. You know, he was playing cricket and he was playing football and touch rugby and athletics and stuff. So I would encourage anyone else that not to try and take tennis or any individual sport too seriously at an early age. You know, you only need to start thinking about specialising, I guess, when you're maybe 13, 14. Until then, it's quite good to play lots of sports, I reckon, and not. Because it shouldn't be that serious at that early age anyway, I reckon.
Exactly, yeah. I think building the athlete and then looking to specialize, yeah, at that age, kind of 13, 14, 15, you know, seems to be a good route to go from talking to sports. Yeah, physiotherapists and strength and conditioning coaches, that's kind of one of the aspects they look to take. There's so many skills required and just social skills as well, you know. Part of tennis can be quite isolating.
Yes, exactly. I think you get a more normal upbringing if you're playing all sorts of sports, so you're doing the sort of things that all your mates at school are doing. So the more normal that you make that, the better, I
reckon. For sure. And then that'll take us into how you know, was college athletics something that you were aware of during Cam's kind of junior days?
Yeah, I was aware of it. Yeah, I mean, I guess before then, you know, inevitably in New Zealand, being relatively isolated, that the levels, you sort of ran out of levels a wee bit. So we had to think about getting him to tournaments outside of New Zealand, you know, once he'd sort of progressed a bit. So we were funding trips to Australia quite frequently so that he could get better opposition. And of course that, and only at that time did we begin to realize just how isolated New Zealand was in terms of tennis. So that began sort of quite more frequent trips to, initially to Australia, and then with some other people involved, Werner Fenter ran a program, and Cam went to Europe with some other promising juniors. I think he was about 14 then. So he began to see that the levels, although the levels were obviously better in Australia, there was another level, a global level in Europe and Asia, that there was another level again. So, you know, just like anything, you need to keep trying to improve. So that involved quite a lot of travel for Cam at an early age. So I guess he grew up a bit, quite a lot, not just physically, but sort of being able to cope a wee bit offshore. And in retrospect, I think it was quite brave to send him off at that early age, even though he was going with adults. It was quite hard for him, because hard for everyone, obviously, you know. But yeah, and then of course when you start playing these international junior events, you start to get recognised and picked, you know, looked upon by coaches, and primarily the college coaches, and eventually Cam. We reached a bit of a crisis, in as much that whilst he was born in South Africa but grew up in New Zealand, there wasn't a lot for him in New Zealand in terms of support. And of course, my wife and I are both British, and it sort of dawned on us that really, if he was going to improve his tennis, he probably needed to get offshore. And so he switched allegiance, in as much as that he started playing for the UK, which was, in retrospect, a probably good call, you know, given the paucity of resources that New Zealand had, and the fact that even New Zealand's top players don't live in New Zealand, obviously, because there's only one or two tournaments a year. So there's nothing to hold someone who's promising growing up in New Zealand to stay there. It's just too hard, logistically too hard. He spent some time at the NTC here in the UK, and got some real good support and sort of facilities that were wonderful at the NTC here in London. But then, of course, with some of his colleagues thinking about what do we do? Do I turn pro or do I go the college route? I think Cam realised that he wasn't ready for to go pro. Realistically, unless you're sort of Nick Kyrgios and super talented and physically big and strong, you know, going pro at 17, 18 is a hard ask for anyone. Especially the guys, I think, you know, maybe a wee bit easier for the girls, but not that much easier. So it was pretty obvious that the college was a probably better option. And realistically, we didn't need to make that decision. Cam had already made that decision that college was the way to go.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, I'd obviously be very biased to that route as well. I think, you know, some of my fondest memories on the tennis court are my college days and the camaraderie, you know, playing for a program that you've got this strange affiliation, albeit you've grown up a million miles from it. But just the environment for me, I think, as soon as I got there, to have, you know, 8-10 guys of similar level kind of pushing each other on a daily basis, brilliant facilities. Where I was at Memphis, we had great weather, which was kind of revolutionary to be playing outdoor tennis almost year round. And it was just such a good springboard for my career. Not that I was necessarily going into it thinking I would end up playing pro, but I often like to think of my tennis career as just kind of stumbling over the various obstacles that kind of came in front of me, and didn't really set myself apart, but just stayed in the game because well, the atmosphere that was there just provided so many great opportunities. And I think that's something that maybe the tennis world, particularly in Ireland, is kind of unknown. I think the character and the maturity that comes from also having, you know, a degree under your belt, I think can certainly a great case study for any prospective collegiate athlete going forward. The manner in which he, you know, spread out his years and was able to take one or two falls off and continue to kind of climb the rankings, I think is really the model that I think a lot of programs now are approaching these top young juniors, kind of saying, listen, you can take the falls off, you can use here as a base, but we really want you kind of from January to May, and that's the spring season. And I really think Cam was the poster child for that, in my opinion. I think he did a brilliant job. And I think bringing that into his, you know, we all know it takes a team, the support that he obviously had from yourself and the family, you know, carting him around to the various different events and now going into a top program at TCU and even taking Faku, a great teammate, on the road with him. And I think he did a brilliant job. And also I'll give a lot of credit to the LTA, who obviously supported him, but also didn't kind of just try and transplant him into their own kind of program. He was able to kind of invest in him, in his team and in himself. And I think that really fast-tracked him to success then.
Yeah, I think the LT were excellent actually at the time. And they didn't make any demands of you know, where he should go. They left the decision to him, which I think is the right thing to do. And typically you get funded to go and do 5 college visits. I don't know if you did the same, David, but so he had a look at quite a few colleges, and of course they were all promising the earth, as they always do. And like your experience, the facilities at all of the places that Cam looked at were superb. They were unbelievably good facilities. So it wasn't about picking one team over another based on facilities. It had to be about the coach, about the environment, about the program, the history. And to be honest, we didn't know a lot about TCU. David Roditi, who runs the program with Devin Bowen, was sort of late at the piece to try and get hold of Cam. Because really they didn't have a full scholarship to offer Cam at the time. And so I think TCU was his last visit, and he'd sort of, I think he'd thought that Oklahoma was, who's been run by John Roddick at the time, was a good option for him, partly because he knew a couple of Aussies, I think, that were there, Andrew Harris. But I think David spoke to us, David Roditi spoke to us, and he came across very well, very genuine. And when you compare, never mind the tennis, just compare the universities from an academic perspective and from a size and everything, it was clear that TCU in Fort Worth was a very prestigious place, even though I'd never heard of them. And so it turned out to be. And I think also at the same year that Cam joined, David had the foresight to employ Devin Bowen. Now, I don't know if you know of Devin Bowen, David, but he also was a very good doubles player. And he played, obviously, XTC. He played a lot with David and other people and got quite high. But more importantly, I think he knows the game and reads the game very well. So that was a fortuitous arrangement that Devin joined the same year as Cam. And so it proved to be a good marriage, if you like.
Yeah, I think it is. It's so important, the environment that you surround yourself in for development. And I think the culture at TCU, you know, they've continued to establish great teams and place themselves at the top of the collegiate game. And it's funny, you kind of see a lot of the heritage with the various nations, but there's obviously you know, several Brits there now. It's like Cam broke the mold for a lot of a lot of interest. You know, they clearly enjoyed the the makeup of Cam, and I think the mentality, the British and Irish mentality, it really shines in the system over there.
I mean, what one of the things that struck me, and when I look back, is thinking that for any prospective parents or players looking for a college, I would advise them not to go to a college where the pre-existing team are all from America or all from one country. You need to have a mix in there. And luckily, most of them are. But and I think that was the nice, at the timing of Cameron's visit, you know, there was Argentinians, there was Americans, there was, you know, there was a whole host of people and some from Spain and stuff. There was a good mix. And I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for some diversity in terms of, you know, background, so that, you know, you can learn a lot from different cultures and experiences, you know. So it was really good, albeit fortuitous, it was a really good decision and a good option for Cam.
Yeah, I really excelled there, but I totally agree. I think now the competition is incredible, the amount of international interest that these coaches have. You know, they're going all over the world to chase up these best players and trying to offer them great scholarships to come to the States. So it is very wildly international, which is great. But I think that culture, the diversity is paramount, because it just equips you for lessons on the tour, you know, being surrounded and being several weeks on the road. You know, I think if you've got a college background, you kind of don't throw your eye up at like a 4 or 5 week stint. You're so used to it from being away. And
in some respects, the college is easier than the pro game, because you got lots of people doing things for you. But I mean, it gets you into that way of getting organized to travel. You know, you're traveling a lot. And that, as you said, that period between January and May is tough, because not only are you playing college matches, but you're trying to continue your studies as well. So your time management becomes really, really important. And lots of guys, particularly guys, are not great at time management. I reckon that when they're 18, you know, they really need to get themselves super organized. And I think Cam initially wasn't great, but then he got really good at it, because you got to be good at it, I guess. And it's the same when you're as you know, when you turn pro proper, you got to be organized, really, really well organized, because you're traveling heaps of lots of times, and so time management is crucial. And I think it teaches you a lot about that college.
Yeah, I think it builds character. It builds a huge amount of character, and I'm sure you've probably noticed a massive difference. The Cam that was, now maybe Cam's the exception in that he kind of sounds like he's been traveling since he's been 14 or 15 back and forth to Australia and long trips then on the ITF circuit. So maybe he's not the best example, but I think that maturity, certainly that I felt, you know, kind of hopping on a plane 8-10 hours from home, you know, kind of having to figure it all out was
tough. Yeah,
and it's a decision that I wouldn't easily make again, you know, but I was so naive and innocent that it being the right thing, that I had such conviction in it that was always going to be, I was always going to make the most of it.
I think the time there goes quite quickly. Go on. Yeah,
no, you're going. Yeah, no, I agree. I think time does go quick, and the 4 years that I was there certainly flew by.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, what obviously paramount now, is that you make use of your time when the college is not on. You know, you need to make use of that time well in terms of ITFs, you know, and then hopefully if you're good enough to get into challenges and stuff, and that was a pattern of that Cam used very, very fruitfully. It, 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 Of course, to get your ranking up was important, but it was more the experience, I think, of playing against, you know, not just college players, you're playing against senior guys, you know, guys that are, you know, there's some bloody good players at the ITF level, you know, and the fact that they may be 500 in the world or 600 in the world, they're still excellent players, you know, so, and there's no easy matches out there.
A great question for you would be just I'm always impressed by the composure that Cam shows on course and, you know, facing oftentimes a lot of adversity naturally in these big matches that he plays and invariably week in, week out. And I always think his approach and his like mental posture is phenomenal, really. I think he's never shows too many bad emotions out there, always seems kind of pretty rested in the present moment and pragmatic as what he has to do going forward. So just wondering if that's another attribute that could be associated to you, or how has he become such a...
I think you need to be competitive. I mean, you need to be competitive on the tennis court. And I think I was pretty competitive on the tennis court and the squash court when I played, because you got to be there. You got to be that way. So perhaps he's inherited some of that. And my wife was also a good squash player. So, you know, squash is a very competitive game, as you know. So it's quite a... He may well have got some genes there that helped him fight adversity. And as you know, tennis, you know, you can't predict things in tennis, you know. So you can be up 1 minute and down the next. So, yeah, you've got to have that mental capacity to move on, you know, when things don't go your way. You know, you've got to try and find a way always, even if you're not playing that well, you've got to find a way to win. And I think David and Devin were impressed with his competitiveness. I know when Cam played at that time, they had one word to describe all the guys in the team, and the word for Cam was on his locker was competitive.
And that's something that I think is often quite hard, you know, to be pragmatic and to discuss this. Did you ever find it that Cam was somewhat reluctant to talk tennis with you, or was he always kind of open to kind of...
Pretty open. I think, I mean, all tennis players, unless you're at the very top, you're lucky you're going to win half of the matches, aren't you? So, you know, a lot of the time you're going to be losing. So unless you can take those losses, you know, tennis is not the sport for you, is it? So I think you just have to learn to move on. I mean, when he loses, yeah, I chat to him afterwards, and you know, but it's not long in depth chats. It's a couple of, as it usually is, a couple of key points or a couple of key moments that determine a game's outcome. You know, so you know, played a couple of loose points, or I played really well in the tiebreak and got over the line. You know, it's the margins are that fine. I mean, I'm stating the obvious, but yeah, the margins are pretty fine at any level, but particularly at the highest level, it's real tough, you know. So you got to be able to move on. Yeah,
it sounds like you've done a fantastic job being the tennis parent, which isn't always the easiest role to be in. I know with my parents, who have been nothing but supportive to me, you know, if there was a comment post match, it was just the hardest thing in the world to hear from your mum and dad. But it seems like
exactly.
Cam has a brilliant perspective, and obviously, you know, you've probably seen him hit more tennis balls than anyone. So it's great that he's developed that trust with you and you can have that interaction.
But I think the coaches he's had throughout his career also appreciate that being a tennis parent's not the easiest job, because you're always tempted to make comments or give your own opinion. But I mean, no, you don't get a brain. You don't get a plumber to do brain surgery, you know. So, they rather let the coach handle it, you know, because that's what you're paying them for, or that's what they're supposed to be doing, you know. So, you can make suggestions and things, but ultimately, the comments we've had, particularly when Cam was younger, and any of the coaches he's had, is they appreciated Helen and I's willingness to stay sort of objective and stay, not get involved in the nitty gritty of post-match discussions, because, you know, generally it is what it is. And, you know, there's merit in reviewing a match, but there's not merit in trying to tell the coach, you know, what you think about him or how he played. You know, I don't think there's a lot of benefit in that.
Yeah, which is not always the
easiest.
Other
than broad. Yeah, not easiest. No, of course not.
It's not the easiest position. Yeah. And you're, well, I mean, you're obviously supporting and fully invested in. So I think that many parents maybe fall into that, where they try and, yeah, I mean, it's coming from a good place, but it doesn't always best serve the relationship with the coach or even with the child themselves. You know, I think for me, anytime tennis was like my thing, and it was hard hearing something other than just support from my mum, albeit that,
yes,
or dad, it was like, it was well-intentioned, but it was just a hard message to swallow for whatever reason. I don't know what it was, but.
And it, and the young, especially at a younger level, when I look at tournaments and the parents are eagerly watching, you know, of course everyone thinks their child's special. That's taken for granted, but you need to have some objectivity and stand back, you know, before you make comments or suggest things, because I think maybe one game where maybe other than football, the sideline, the Saturday morning watching your kids play football, and of course everyone's got an opinion on what the coach should be doing, and at those junior levels or, you know, matches, the coach is voluntary. He's not there to get abused by the parents, you know. Or, so it's definitely you got a lot to learn about growing up and stuff, you know, and just keeping in the moment and making it, you know, just keeping it in perspective, everything. And you know, when Cam did had a bad loss, you know, he said, well, I lost a tennis match. Like, you got to keep it in perspective. It's not like, you know, World War III or you're losing someone, or, you know, like, it's just, you know, it's a tennis match. And although it's disappointing to lose and you don't want to lose, it's like, well, there's other, you know, other things in life that are worse than that.
It's your perspective he's got.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, that comes from home. That's a big message from home. Oftentimes you see it on the road. It can be, these matches can be life and death. And I think,
That's right.
Emphasis on the certain age groups is maybe too much. You know, I think people are too focused on the short term, winning under 12s and 14s, and maybe lacking perspective for growth within their game when they get to 18 to 22 and how they want to play.
Exactly. But it's very hard to tell a 14-year-old that it doesn't really matter if you lose. You know, you're playing an inter-club a match in the other side of Auckland, and you lost in the tiebreak in the third against some old guy who was giving you bad calls. You know, like, that's, you know, it builds character for sure, and it, you know, but we, you know, it's the same all over the world. You know, that's what happens, and I always used to say to Cam, like, you just got to go over it. Yeah, he did give you bad calls, but you know. Life has a way of sorting these things out eventually, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I think staying in the present moment is certainly a big cue that we use with the guys on a daily basis. You know, I think it's easy to get frustrated with bad line calls, particularly at the junior level, or maybe get a little bit nervous or anxious at the possibility of winning a big match, and you kind of focus deviates. I think, you know, one thing for us is we always just try and come back to, okay, what's important now? What do I need to do in this next shot or this next serve?
Exactly. Learn from it and keep
moving forward. And that's certainly something Cam has done a fantastic job on. He's given you some amazing memories on a tennis court. So I suppose it'd only be natural to talk about some of the highs as a top 10 parent and how the roles have changed now. Is it harder? Is it easier to watch these matches, or?
I'm not a great watcher, David. Honestly, I'm not a great watcher. I mean, when we lived in New Zealand, obviously, usually the time zone was awful, you know, so if you wanted to watch them, it was a question of getting up in the middle of the night. And questionable. And then sometimes there wasn't a live stream available, or Sky didn't cover it, or, you know, like, so there can't be much worse than watching live scores at 3 a.m, you know, like, it's just the worst,
isn't it?
And you don't really know what's going on. It's the worst. It's not reloading.
So, it's not refreshing.
So, that's right. Eventually we got to see more of them by traveling. And then one of the reasons we came back to the UK was the fact that, you know, traveling from New Zealand to Europe twice a year got to be quite hard and quite expensive. So we eventually, and our daughter's over here now as well, so that's why we live in Europe now, so which has made it a lot easier. But to be answer your question, I'm not a great watcher. We've watched some fantastic matches, obviously, notably with his run at Wimbledon a couple of years ago was quite special. And, you know, he did really, really well. And I think, obviously he wants to repeat that as best he can. But it's a hard journey because, like, there's no grass courts in New Zealand. There's no clay. There's one clay court in New Zealand. So he had to overcome a lot to get to be comfortable on those surfaces. You know, obviously there's two Grand Slams played on those surfaces. So it's not been an easy transition. And I remember Leon Smith saying to me, like, it takes a while to get used to playing on grass, you know, like, it's a different game completely. So it was to Cam's credit that he did so well on grass, and now he's pretty comfortable with it. But it wasn't always that way, you know.
A testament to his mentality, I think. It could be easy to almost play the victim and be like, oh, you know, haven't been exposed to this, haven't never felt comfortable on it. But to embrace the challenge, which he's done, and on all surfaces, you know, he's obviously won some big matches on clay, fantastic run, and a real threat on the grass, and being able to mold his game to each surface is a real skill that he's developed.
But I think it's a skill that probably, well, all the top players have that skill, but they make it look relatively easy. But it's, as you probably know as well, it's not that easy to play and switch surfaces, you know, like, it's real hard. That transition from the clay in Paris to Wimbledon, you know, like,
it's going to be even more interesting this year, going from the French, getting ready for the grass court season, then back onto the clay almost immediately after for the Olympics.
Correct.
So I think it'll be the other way around.
Correct.
Which would be unusual.
Yes, it'll be very, very, very interesting. Yeah, very interesting indeed. Yeah. But yeah, that's the challenge. It's a nice challenge for tennis. It is a nice challenge. It's at the highest level. It makes it even more interesting, doesn't it? That ability to switch surfaces and switch quickly.
Yeah, and then this would be Cam's first time at the Olympics.
To be honest, I don't know what the selection criteria is. It ranking? I know he's got it on his schedule, but I don't know. Beyond that, I don't know who or what decides whether that happens. I assume it's based on ranking of some description.
The LTA have an input for sure, but again, I'm not 100%. It's mostly ranking. So Cam's ranking should qualify him. It's kind of run like a tour event, but
yes, I think you're right. But it will be interesting. I think it's always a honor to represent your country, and because the Olympics doesn't come on around that often. So I think that's why he's jumped at the chance to do that and participate, which I think will be great. Be absolutely great.
Yeah, and I think he's, you know, I was fortunate enough to be on the sidelines for one of the ATP Cups, and we had Cam on the team, and it was brilliant just to be, I just got back with Joe, so this would have been the kind of COVID ATP Cup, but it was great to kind of hear the interaction.
Yes.
At the sidelines when Cam would sit down to the change of ends with the team and hear Facun himself kind of discussing and just his view of the match. I really enjoyed just himself and Dan Evans and the whole team, just kind of the exchanges at the change of ends. I always found kind of fascinating, just how good they are at reading the game and actually what they need to do. in order to be more effective, you know, so on the ball was very impressive, and such a good teammate as well.
As a viewer, it was also, I mean, equally, we were listening to when the Spanish team were involved and the interaction, you know, even though Spanish isn't great, you could hear what they were talking about and what they were, what was going through their mind. It was real good. Just like the Lever Cup, you know, when you saw the interactions and it just, all those competitions are good, are very interesting.
It's a good take.
Although,
yeah.
I'm sort of jaundiced. I'm jaundiced a bit because I don't know the ATP event, the team cup,
United Cup thing.
I just don't. I'm an old fashioned, but I sort of miss the Davis Cup and what they've done to that format. For me, the Davis Cup will always be a bit more interesting in the home and away, which maybe they'll bring back now. But
there's rumours of it.
I like that format. Yeah. Yes, and also I think Cam was lucky enough to play the Hopman Cup one year, the last year they played it, and that was an unbelievable event that Tennis Australia sabotaged. I have no idea why, but that the atmosphere there was just fantastic, and it was a nice lead in to the Aussie Open, obviously, and you know there was the. Cam was fortunate to play in the same group as Switzerland and America and Greece. And he and Katie Bolter did really well. I think they got second. But it was a fantastic experience. And I enjoyed that immensely, especially when the mixed, as you probably remember, the mixed, it was a fast four type scoring, you know. So the singles were normal scoring. And Cam did well to beat Tsitsipas, and he beat Tiafoe. Roger cleaned him up, but in the mix, it was just great. It was absolutely great. Katie and Cam beat Francis and Serena, and it was it was quite nice to watch.
Were you there in person, or were you on the?
Yeah, we were. We were lucky enough to be there. It was real good. It was real good. Yeah. So yeah, those team events are good, and he's done well in those generally. And we were still in New Zealand when he beat Rafa at the last United Cup, which was a great event. That was not last year; the year before, he had a good. He beat Fritz and he beat De Minaur, and then he beat Rafa, which was great. Great. So that was, you know, even though Rafa probably largely wasn't as good as he's been, you know, to play that guy and some competitor, Rafa, like, it's unbelievable.
I mean, the emotions as a parent watching your child beating one of the greats must be hard to put into words, really. Just the
I couldn't watch it. It was on New Year's Eve, and we were at a New Year's Eve party in Auckland, and I remember they had it on, and I was watching the live scores, and oh dear, and it looked like he was going to win, and then, you know, like, you just never know with Rafa, you know. So it was good when he did win; it was excellent. Yeah. So my wife and I both enjoyed seeing him at various events. We haven't been to them all. We haven't been to the US Open, and we're trying to rectify that this year. Europe makes it easier to go to events for sure. It's been nice. Been nice to be within striking distance of Rome or Monte Carlo, yeah, or, you know, Barcelona. It's quite nice to,
for sure. I think Rome is one of the best events on the calendar, I think, just for all the sightseeing opportunities that it provides is amazing.
Yeah, and it's a dead very easy city to get around as well. I like it a lot.
Very much so. I suppose to finish up, I don't want to keep you much longer. Just for prospective parents and future high achieving parents, do you have any final recap and positive or negatives? Or
I had to give a talk before I left New Zealand. I gave a talk to a local club, and I sort of made a few notes. And some of them are probably still relevant, you know, to a young junior. You know, keep it fun. It doesn't really matter if you win or lose at 14, even though you think it does. Try and play people better than you. You know, if you can do that, try and play doubles. I'm preaching it to the converted, obviously, but I don't think Cam or lots of juniors play enough doubles stuff, and they don't learn to volley properly. So that's good. I always say try and play doubles because it will improve your singles, obviously. try and play mixed doubles as well. Like mixed doubles is good because you learn a lot about from mixed doubles, as you know. Come to the net, learn to volley, and then play the interclub from as young as age as you can, because you'll meet old guys that will cheat and play different balls that you'll get as a junior. So it's a good learning experience to play interclub and play lots of seniors, you know, to learn stuff. And ultimately, you know, you can play a lot, you can play a little, but just play. It's a great sport. Sort of stealing from Eddie Merckx there when people say just cycle a lot or cycle a little, but just cycle. I'd say the same with tennis, just keep hitting.
It's a game for life. There's no doubt about it. It really is.
Yeah, definitely. So that would be my sort of summary for prospective parents. And I guess if your child is in the area that you're considering a college career, you know, think carefully about the college and where they'll do it. But mainly things that are off court, you know, like, you know, how far is the dorm from where they'll train, that sort of stuff. You know, how's their time management skills? Will anyone look after them off the court? You know, things that it's difficult to get a perspective from afar on, but those are the things that make the college career good, you know. So although you can switch colleges, it's a big call to choose the right college. Ask lots of people's advice and get input from as many people as you can on it. But so that those were some of the things I'd say for prospective parents of college and tennis professionals that they might wish to ponder.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you hit the nail on the head there that invariably the facilities, they're all world class, and I think so much of the enjoyment and the experience actually lies within the team, the coaches, and just the environment that's created is so important. And again, like Cam, I've been very privileged to have found the right spot. But there is a right spot for everyone out there. You know, there's so many opportunities. And I think things have, you know, I'm not too familiar with the system, but it has become a lot easier to transfer and to find the right place. I don't know the full ins and outs right now, but
it wouldn't be that easy to keep. I mean, easy on paper to do it, but like to upend your life and go somewhere else isn't that easy. I don't think so. Yeah, picking the right one first time would be a better option for sure.
Well, yeah, David, I really appreciate you taking the call, and thank you so much for sharing your insights and the journey, and wishing Cam and the team continued success. I don't think the draw is out for Miami yet, but best of luck in Miami, and then coming into the clay season, and hopefully representing UK in the Olympics as well. It'll be a fun experience, a fun first.
That would be great.
Not many fun firsts for Cam left in the game, but no. Hopefully a few special ones to come for you and the team.
Thank you, David. Nice to talk to you.
As ever. All the best. Cheers, Dave. Thank you.
Bye-bye.